this right here. What is so great about Christmas? How many love Christmas time? Christmas time. Everybody loves Christmas time. You know, in southern Louisiana, they love Christmas time too. Boudreaux and Thibodeau, they love Christmas. Anybody know who Boudreaux and Thibodeau is? All right, who doesn't know who Boudreaux and Thibodeau is? You haven't been here long enough to know who Boudreaux. All right, Boudreaux and Thibodeau is some crazy Cajuns that live in the southern Louisiana, and they are backwoods. They're so backwoods, let me explain it this way. Boudreaux and Thibodeau are always coming up with crazy ideas. One of the things they wanted to do is they wanted to build a rocket, and Boudreaux wanted to go to the sun. Thibodeau tells Boudreaux, hey, Boudreaux, you can't go to the sun, man. Why? Well, it's hot there. He said, man, I got it all figured out. He goes, how's that? He goes, I'm going to build a spaceship. He goes, yeah, but didn't you hear me? I said it was hot up there. He goes, no, man, I got it all figured out. We'll go at night. See what I'm saying? That's the kind of folks we're dealing with, all right? So Boudreaux and Thibodeau, they love Christmas too. And Boudreaux and Thibodeau's wives, they got them some bear hunting. Boudreaux and Thibodeau never been bear hunting, never in their life. So Boudreaux and Thibodeau's wife gets them deer hunting license. They're bear. Did I say deer again? I'm going to jack this up. I'm bound to. Get them bear hunting license, right? Bear hunting. So they're going to go bear hunting. So Boudreaux and Thibodeau, for Christmas, they get bear hunting license. Did I say it right that time? All right. Bear hunting. So they're excited. They're going to go bear hunting. They're so excited. So they waited. They got their license in December. And of course, you can't shoot bear until the fall, because if you do, the game wardens come get you. All right. So they waited all year. They're so excited. They're going bear hunting. It's exciting. They get in their pick 'em up truck. They get all their gear in their pick 'em up truck, and they are driving. They go all the way to Baton Rouge. They get to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and as they're coming around one of the corners there, they see this sign. All of a sudden, Boudreaux slams on the brakes. He said, man, we can't go. Turns the car around, heads back home. He's like, hey, man, what are you doing? What are you doing? We've been waiting all year. Our wives bought for Christmas these bear hunting license, and now we ain't going bear hunting? He goes, yeah, didn't you see the sign? He goes, why? What sign? He said, it says, bears left. Get it? Bear left, bears left. All right, anyway. I thought that'd thaw you out. Did that thaw you out? That get you going? All right. Well, hey, listen. Christmas time is a great time. But as we've been talking about over the last couple weeks, I believe with all my heart, it's one of the greatest times to, number one, share with your family about Christmas and Jesus and all that. But more importantly, I want in this series to tell you certain things that I believe Christmas absolutely solidifies in your heart, or it should. So, you know, last week we talked about this. The first verse in the Bible that talks about Christmas is? Come on, everybody say Genesis 3:15. Here it is. It says, I will put enmity between the woman and between your seed and her seed. That's Jesus it's talking about. And he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Absolutely. It's pretty interesting that the first Christmas promise was not given to man. It was spoken to the enemy, Satan. Isn't that pretty crazy? It's a true story, though. This is the first Christmas promise in your Bible. And I talked about how for 4,000 years, God made this promise that he was going to come to the earth. And you know, prophets foretold it, people foretold it. And ultimately, Jesus did. And we know that last week we talked about this. We said that God is what? Faithful. How many of you believe that? That God is faithful. How many of you thank God he is faithful, right? Aren't you glad he's not like some of your friends? All right? God is absolutely faithful. Well, today I want to talk to you about something else that I believe God is. And especially around Christmas, you got to see God as this. I don't know how you can serve a God that you don't believe has this. And you say, what is it that he has? Let me tell you, God is all powerful. How many of you believe our God is all powerful? Absolutely. No other God. There is no other God like him. He slung the world into existence, man. He did everything. Our God is all powerful. The Bible doesn't say it this way, but preachers use the word omniscient, omnipotent. You know, he's all powerful. He knows all things. He can do anything. Our God is all powerful. But a lot of times what happens is in saying that God is all powerful, we think that means God's all powerful in my life. Can I tell you? God is not all-powerful in your life unless you allow him to be all-powerful in your life. Listen, there's a lot of things that God wants to do in people's lives, but if they don't make a way for him, how many of you know God can't? See, God's so awesome that he respects humans' ability to resist him. Free choice, free will. If you don't want to serve God, you don't have to serve God. If you don't want to honor God, you don't have to honor God. I mean, if you don't want to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to. Now, how many of you know it puts you in a bad place in eternity? Yeah, for real. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But the truth of the matter is, you don't have to. God's not forcing his power on anybody. Even though he's all powerful, he doesn't use his power or abuse his people. And what's interesting about it is, check this out. The enemy has limited power, and he crams it down people's throats. He forces people to do what he asks. How many of you know the only thing that the devil understands is a force greater than himself? That's why anytime you deal with demon-possessed people, you can't negotiate. It's like little five-year-old kids. I didn't say your kids were 5 years old, demon-possessed. I said that little five-year-old kids, you don't negotiate with them because they're like terrorists. Can I get a witness in the house of God? Am I the only one that feels this way? I seen some mother's hands go up right there. I did. Check this out. One of the greatest Christmas verses in your Bible is right here. You ready? Isaiah 9:6. It says this: "For unto us a child is born." Watch this. This is cool. This is man's perspective. This is God's perspective. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." How many of y'all hear that? That's God's perspective. Now watch. "And the government will rest upon" who? "His shoulders." That's right. Jesus is a political leader. Take that one. All right. "And his name shall be called," watch this, five names I want you to hear. "Wonderful." How many of you believe Jesus is wonderful? "He's the Counselor." Mm-hmm. "Mighty God, Everlasting Father," and "Prince of Peace." Absolutely. There's one of those, though, that lines up perfectly with my message and what I'm talking about today. That he is the mighty God. He is a mighty God. Do you know you serve a mighty God? Christmas is about celebrating our mighty God. Our mighty God. And I'll show you how here in just a minute. Check this out. In those five names, one of them specifically, mighty God, in Hebrew, it means giver. 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 God is giver. All right, check this out. What's that mean? It translates to this: he is powerful, strong. He's a champion. This is a literal translation. Champion, chief, mighty God, or conquering God. How many of you don't believe you serve a conquering God? A mighty God, an awesome God, a powerful God. You don't think about it. We have the only religion in the world that we can say that about our God. We can say that about our God. Our God is a conquering God. Say, I don't know if I believe that. You don't believe that? You don't believe that. There are 66 books that you call the Bible. There are thousands of prophecies. Every one of them has been fulfilled or in the process of being fulfilled. And out of those 66 books, listen to this. Not one thing in that Bible has ever been proven wrong. Not one. I know you get some guy on TV, 15 minutes of fame, Dr. Dumbbell, stands up there and says he don't believe it. Okay, just because Dr. Dumbbell don't believe it doesn't mean he's proven it wrong. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Like I've told you this, and I've said it in the past, I'll say it again. I think instead of Christians constantly defending their faith, I think people ought to defend their unbelief. I think they ought to defend why they believe what they believe. Because I have enough proof and enough ammo, I like that term, to prove what I believe, praise God. And I believe that our God is absolutely powerful. Powerful. Do you believe that? Now, I'm going to show you something that no other God can claim, and no one else can really claim on this planet or has ever. God's power is so powerful that he did something that no one else could do. You ready? God's power invades time. How many of you know Christmas is about God sending his son and God invading time? I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine thinking about it, living in the Old Testament where it was always these prophecies speaking about Jesus will come, Jesus will come, Jesus will come, Jesus will come, Jesus will come. And all the time, you know as well as I do, there were skeptics. I just don't believe they'll come. I just don't think it's going to happen. Yeah, whatever. It's the same way it is right now in our culture with Jesus' return. Yes. How many of you believe Jesus is returning? Oh, he's coming, y'all. He's coming. And the Bible is very clear about his return. He is coming. He's going to split the sky, and we're all going to see him. First, we're going to be raptured. I'm going out with that one. Y'all picking up what I'm doing? I mean, you know, there are three different views about the tribulation and all that. You know, there are those that come out before the tribulation called pre-trib. Then there are some that come out in the middle of trib. Some people believe mid-trib. Some people believe post-trib, mean you're going to go through the whole tribulation, then you're going to go to heaven, right? People say, Pastor Charlie, which one are you? I'm pre-trib. Pre-trib. Why? Number one, I think the Bible speaks of that one the best and most clearest. And I like that one. I'm just going to be honest. I like that one. I met some people, they're pan-trib. You know what pan-trib is? However it pans out. They're all right with it. You know, but people will make fun and mock the fact that Jesus is going to return. They mock it, make fun of it. Can I tell you, it was no different before Jesus came? That for thousands of years they mocked it, made fun of it, said it wasn't going to happen. How many of you know God invaded time? And a little girl named Mary. Yeah. And he's the only person ever to split time in half. I love it when people say, I just don't believe in God. Do you got a clock? You have a calendar? You know, we measure time based upon him splitting time in half. Pretty cool, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Check this out. It's prophecies concerning Christ, just to prove that he could do it. He was born in Bethlehem. How many of you know that? Yeah. It's pretty interesting, too, because can anything good come out of Bethlehem? Anything good come out of that place? How many of you know he was born of a virgin? Don't act like that ain't a big deal, y'all. How many of you know that's a stinking big deal? Yeah. Toph was talking about how, we identify Mary, you know. I grew up Catholic, so in the Catholic world, you know, Virgin Mary. Virgin Mary. You know, who are we going to pray to? The Virgin Mary. I mean, how would you like to be known in your world by your sexuality first? You know, this is married Charlie. Three husbands, so-and-so. Virgin Mary. How many of you know that's just weird? Okay, I'm the only one that finds that funny. All right, I can tell you guys are defrosting, but just work with me on it, all right? But listen, being born of a virgin is a big deal. And this was prophesied 600 years before Jesus would ever come. Look at this. Betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Died by crucifixion. Buried in a rich man's tomb. There are so many prophecies whenever you start adding it up. And I've told you this before. That actually, once you reach seven prophecies, seven. I've given you five right there, but seven. It's actually mathematically impossible for any one man to fulfill seven Bible prophecies, much less the hundreds there are in the Bible of Jesus. Can I tell you, mathematically impossible for anyone else. See, what's that prove? That proves that our God is so powerful, he knew before time began what he would do. He invaded into time, spoke through the prophets, and then when the right time came about 4,000 years later from Adam and Eve, can I tell you, he invaded time. He's the only God that can ever do that. Stepped into time. Now, the question is, if he can step into time, I believe in my heart that it is he desires to step into my time all the time. Yes. Because if God can step into Mary's time, he can step into my time today, praise God. And I want him in my time. Look at this. There are two people in the Bible specifically concerning Jesus and him being born. And I want you to see how the two different people responded, okay? One of them is Zechariah. Zechariah is the father of John the Baptist. Everybody get that? So who am I talking about? John the Baptist's father, his name is? Zechariah. All right, now watch this. Look at how he responds to an angel, Gabriel, showing up and telling him, hey, your wife is going to bear a son. Your wife is going to bear a son. Anybody know who he's going to be called? John the Baptist, right? Didn't I just say that? I was just seeing if you were tracking. Look at this. Here it is. This is the angel showing up speaking to John the Baptist. And I want you to see, here's what I want you to take note of. I want you to take note of the heart of Zechariah. I want you to take note of his heart. Watch what he says. He will also go before him and in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Watch this. To make ready the people to prepare them for the Lord. This is the angel speaking. This is what he's saying to Zechariah. Watch this. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man. How many of you know that makes a problem? You're going to bear a son. Well, I'm old, man. And my wife is well and advanced in years. Now watch. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and to bring these glad tidings. How many of you know it doesn't sound like good news to him? Anybody picking up what I'm putting down? He's like, hey, bro, you showed up. I was over here just, you know, fishing. And you showed up and you're telling me we're old and we're going to have kids. We got a problem. I'm not game up. You can't find this in your Bible. This is a Charlie Riley Amplified, all right? Charlie Riley Amplified going on right here. All right? So he tells him, the angel's like, who you think I am? I stand before the presence of God. I will strike you with lightning if you keep jacking with me. Okay, it isn't in there like that, but you get what I'm saying. He goes, I bring good glad tidings. The angel is annoyed at this point. Watch. And behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day of these things take place. Shoot. For real. Sure. Yeah, stop. Because you did not what? Look at this. You didn't believe. You didn't believe what I had to say. Look at this. And he says, in my words, you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. What'd that angel do? Shoot. Done. Muted him. Couldn't talk till the baby was born. Isn't that interesting? See, get this. God wanted to invade his time. And he didn't have time for it. And God knew, I need this baby to be born. I want my will to come to pass. And if I allow you to speak negative about what I'm trying to do, you're going to ruin the plan of God even for your own life. Watch Mary. Mary's totally different. Look at Mary. Mary says this. But when she saw him, talking about the angel, same angel, Gabriel, saw him, she was troubled in saying, considering what manner of greeting this is. Now, I want you to understand. Go back in their day when angels showed up, typically it wasn't a sign of blessing. Remember? Sodom and Gomorrah, angels showed up there too. Most of the time when angels showed up into the Old Testament, it was about judgment. So when she saw the angel, guess what her mind immediately went to? Uh-oh, we're in trouble. What did I do wrong? She considered what manner of meeting this was. Now watch. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. How many of you know that changes everything right there? Hey, listen, if there's one thing that you should pray over you, your family, and over your kids, is the favor of God over their life. I don't know about you, but I want the favor of God in my life. The favor of God. You found favor with God. Look at this. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name In Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Watch this. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. In his kingdom there will be no what? There will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, now watch, she asked a question, how can this be since I do not know a man? How many of you know that's not a statement of unbelief? That's a statement of fact. Okay, y'all still ain't there. For 4,000 years up until Mary, you had to have a dude to have a baby. Anybody picking up what I'm putting down? I mean, this is not a statement of what's going on. I got this figured out. This was like, hey, angel, you know how we do this down here? That's what she's saying. She's like, yeah, I mean, I don't know how y'all do it up there, but down here, you know, for chicks to have babies, we got to have dudes, and that's the way it rolls here. How many of you know? I'm going to stop. I'm about to step in it. I got to stop. How can this be since I do not know a man? She's not saying this out of a heart of unbelief. She's saying this as a fact. This is the way she understands the world. How many of you know this is the way the world is? But God's power is about to be demonstrated through him invading time. Now watch this next verse. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you, and therefore also the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Now, I know we read that and we go, now think about it. If you were Mary standing there, and you go, hey, listen, check this out, angel. I don't know how y'all do it up there, but we do it, you know, with dudes. That's how we have babies here. And she goes on, and the angel goes on this rant of, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and he's going to be the thing of the Most Highest. And you would think she would go, oh, okay, that makes sense. How many of you know that's not what I'd be thinking? I'd be like, okay, but you didn't address the problem. Come on, am I the only ones here? Because I want you to see that most of us would have been like, it's kind of like arguing with your spouse. You know, it's like, no, you missed the point. Here's what I was talking about. Don't lie. Okay, now, so now watch. Watch what happens. Watch what's out. Because me, at this point, I'm still not moving on. If I would have been married, thank God I wasn't. But if I would have been, I would have come back to, okay, but yeah, what about the dude thing? Mary doesn't. Watch what she does. Watch this. He explains to her. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month of her of whom is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Oh, it's easy. It's easy for us to say amen. We know the story now. But then I'd have been like, oh, everything's possible? Come on. Look at this. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be according to your word. Can I tell you, that's probably one of the greatest faith statements in the entire Bible. Let it be. Listen, nothing in her world made sense. But all she said was, let it be according to your word. I don't understand the whole Holy Spirit coming upon me. I understand my relative is going to have a baby. I get that. I get a lot of things, but I don't understand how you're making a baby without a dude. I don't understand that. But even though I don't understand it, let it be according to your word, God. Let it be according to you. I don't have to understand it all. It doesn't have to make sense. I don't have to have it all figured out. It doesn't have to all jive. All I got to do is understand God wants to invade my time and my space. And you know what? Let it be according to your word, oh God. Listen, there are things and promises in the Bible. There are things that God has promised you. There are things that God wants to do in your life. And if you stop and you try and figure all them out and you try and dot every I and cross every T and make it all work and make it all plan and do it all right, can I tell you, it still may not make sense. But can I tell you, if God wants to invade your time, all you need to say is, Lord, let it be according to your word. I trust your word. Your word says it. That settles it in my heart. Therefore, I believe it, and I don't have to figure it all out. Praise God. Amen? That's how you need to be. That's how I need to be. I don't know if I could have done what Mary did. I don't know if I could have been like, oh, let it be according to thy word. I think I'd have been like, time out. How's that work? So I want you to see your faith in that. See, because our God is so powerful, all he needs is your agreement. All he needs is your agreement. If you can just say, hey, let it be according to your word, God. If the Bible says God wants to bless you, then you don't have to figure out how he's going to do it. All you got to know is he's going to do it. And he's going to do it, and he said he was going to do it. Therefore, I believe it, and that settles it in my heart. He's going to do it. If God says he's a healer, then I don't have to figure out how he's going to do it. I just have to agree that he is going to heal me. Right? If God says he is going to watch over my family, then I don't know how he's going to do it. But how many of you know, I just believe he will do it. Come on, it goes like that with everything. One of the greatest things you can ever say to God is, Lord, let it be according to your what? Let it be according to your word. I love to say it this way. This is the way I wrote it down. God wants to invade our time and our space. He wants to, but he won't do it if we're constantly like, well, I just don't think God will. I just don't believe God wants to. How many of you know God wants to? We just have to do it and say, God, let it be according to your word. If your word declares it over my life, I agree with it, and that settles it in my life. Amen? All right, so listen, I believe that Christmas is all about God invading time, his power invading time. But can I tell you, it doesn't stop there. Because when it comes to what is so special about Christmas, I don't think you could talk about Christmas and not talk about this aspect of God's power. Here it is, you ready? God uses ordinary people to show extraordinary power. Do you believe that? I know, again, growing up in the culture that I did, Mary was a big deal. But when I read about her in the Bible, I find just an ordinary chick. You say, well, she wasn't ordinary. No, she was. She asked normal questions. Yeah. Whenever I see different people, especially around the birth of Jesus, they're ordinary people. You know, God didn't choose the Roman Empire. God didn't choose Pharaoh. God didn't choose the great men of the earth. God didn't choose anyone. He chose the lowly things. Think about even Jesus. Who showed up at his birthday? The wise men? The wise men came, right? They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? The shepherds, rednecks out there growing stuff. Animal, come on, they were the rednecks of their day. I just believe that. Oh, you don't have to. Yeah, all right? Listen, no. Did anybody great show up to Jesus' birth? Seriously? No? Matter of fact, when Herod found out, he was upset. I mean, think about it. A young boy being born in a manger out in the middle of Bethlehem and nowhere, and he's worried about his power. Talk about power. Something must have been going on. They knew Jesus was coming. Praise God. Y'all hear what I'm saying? See, get this. God used ordinary people to do extraordinary things. How many of you feel like you're just an ordinary Joe? Or Bob, Fred, Wilma, whatever. You're just an ordinary person. A lot of times we think that disqualifies us to do something great for God. We think that God don't want to invade my space. Why? Well, I'm just me. Can I tell you? That's the qualifier. That's the qualifier. Let me tell you why. Here's what I've learned about God. People that have big, great names, we want God to use them. We're like, man, look at the position they're in. God could use that position. Yeah, but then they would receive all the glory for what God would do. God loves to use people that have no glory in it so that when he takes them up and he allows them to speak to a people, can I tell you, he gets all the glory. I mean, I think about, and this just where I'm at, just go with me there. I think about Phil Robertson, Duck Dynasty guy. I mean, come on, did you ever expect him to be a great evangelist telling people about Jesus? Come on, for real. You know what I mean? It's pretty amazing who God can use to shake up things. Am I right? You think about it, man. Think about it. It's pretty amazing. The things that the world would say, well, that's foolish. God says, that's who I'm going to use. That's who I'm going to use. I love this quote. Oswald Chambers said this. All of God's people are ordinary people who have been made extraordinary by the purpose he has given them. You believe that? Man, I believe that with all my heart. Listen to what the Bible says about ordinary people. For you see your calling, brethren. How many of you believe you're called today? Okay, only a few of you. Let me explain something to you. You're here. It's 17 degrees out last time I seen it. On a snowy, nasty day. You think you got here by God not calling you? How many of you know your TV and your hot chocolate was calling you? But God called you, and the calling on you is greater than what was called at your house. Here's my point. The Bible says if you're here today, you didn't get here. We think we get places by accident. The truth of the matter is the Bible says you can't even be born again unless God calls you. The Holy Spirit drawing you. See? Check it out. Look at this. Bible says this. Not many are wise according to the flesh. Not many are mighty. Not many are noble and not are called. See, not many are noble or called. God didn't call. Look what he does. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Normal people doing extraordinary things. That's what he does. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. You believe that? I think about Moses. Moses brought down the greatest military force on the planet with a stick and a stutter. That's a bad dude. And it wasn't him that gets the glory. Who gets the glory for it? God. I think about Gideon. Think about Gideon, talking about a weak dude. If you go back and read it, check it out. God says, hey, Gideon, oh, mighty, God calls him this. Hey, mighty man, I want you to do something for me. Gideon goes, apparently you don't know who I am. Seriously. Gideon tells him this. Go back and read it. It's so funny. Gideon tells God, hey, apparently you don't know who I am. See, because get this, we're the weakest nation of all the nations. And out of all the nations, we're the weakest nation. Out of this nation, my tribe is the weakest tribe. And out of the weakest tribe, my familia, my family, we're the weakest bunch of them. And out of all them, I'm the weakest of them. I am not making this up. He says, we're just some bad, sick, messed up people over here. And you want me to be a big, mighty man of God and go do something for you? And God goes, go in this might of yours. Listen to what God says. Go in this might of yours. I'm sure Gideon like spun around and said, hold up. You didn't hear me the first time. You didn't hear that I said I'm a nobody, man, and I can't do nothing. And God, he literally says that. He literally says, this is quoted, go in this might of yours. Gideon's like, I told you I was weak. See, the principle and the point is this. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Why? Because he knows if he can do big things through Gideon, Gideon has no other response than to glorify God for all that God does in his life. Amen. Amen? So if you feel like you're way down here and you feel like you can never, and you feel like, my goodness, I wish God would and all this stuff, can I tell you that is the qualifier for God to do big things in your life. That is the qualifier for God to invade your time and your space for sure. Because listen, as long as you think you got it all together and you can do it on your own and you got life all figured out and you got your marriage all figured out and you got your kids all figured out and you got your checking account all figured out, you got it all together and you can do it all on your own, guess who's going to receive the glory for all that you do? You will. But can I tell you, our God is so powerful and so awesome that once you realize that without him, Jesus said this, without me, you can do nothing. And I can tell you truthfully that without God, I can do nothing. And the best thing you can ever say over your life is, God, without you, I can do nothing. That opens you up for God to invade your time and space. Amen? Because God wants to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. You believe that? Man, I believe that with all my heart. See, here's the truth. God knows it. God knows it. God knows it. Here's the last thing I'm going to give you. Here's the last one. God uses the unknown to make him well known. Do you believe that? God knows. Ordinary people. Unknown. We think of people in the Bible and we think of David. We think of all these great men of the Bible. Do you know what? God used them when they weren't known so that he could get the glory and make them, make him well known. And that's the only reason they are well known, is because they made him known. If you want God to do anything in your life, make him known. As you make him known, he'll do big things in your life. Amen? Yes. Amen. All right, here's my last one. You ready? Last thing about God's power in your life. I believe God has the power to save and rescue us no matter what. He has the power to save and rescue us no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing, no matter how it works out. Think about it. Jesus, or the Bible says this, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. That's right. For he will save his people from their what? How many of you believe that's a big deal right there? Mm-hmm. Next week, I'm going to talk about what the angel showed up and said, because it's pretty powerful what they said. But nevertheless, look at it for now. It says this, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet saying, watch what he said, behold, the virgin shall bring a child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God is what? God is absolutely 100% what? With us. Do you believe that God is with you? Absolutely. Here's the deal. Whenever you look at God's power being displayed on the earth, you find out that number one, here's what you find. You find that number one, God invaded time. But he didn't invade time by accident. When he invaded time, it took Mary's agreement for him to invade her time. If you want God to invade your time on a day to day, how many of you want God to invade your Monday? Your Tuesday? How many want God to invade Friday? Yeah. Listen, I want God to invade every day of the week. And you know what? It comes because I agree with him. Let it be according to your word, God. Let it be according to your word. Let it be according to your word. Let it be according to your word. God's power will invade my time and my space when I say, Lord, let it be according to your word. Invade my time. And then the second thing, what did we just talk about? What was the second point I gave you? That God's power what? I'm going to have to preach it all over again. God's power uses ordinary people to do what? Extraordinary things. Yeah, it made a beautiful impact on your life, I can tell. Yeah. Glad I'm preaching today. Tove's preaching later. No, hey, listen, here's the truth. When we say, God, invade my time, listen, know that a lot of times we disqualify ourselves long before we ever get to where God's doing something big in our life. And it's because we think that we're just ordinary people. But can I tell you, that is the qualifier. That's not the disqualifier, that's the qualifier. That's the qualifier. Well, Lord, I'm jacked up. Okay, God says, good. You've decided to get out of the way. Now I can get involved. That was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful point. I preached on it for about 10 minutes there. It was great. All right. Here's the last thing, and I'm going to shut up for real. God has the power to save and to rescue. That's what Jesus did. He saved and he rescued us. Do you believe that?